Welcome, everybody, to the Persuasion School Podcast. Grateful to have you here, if this is your first time. Hey, my name is Jake Savage. If you are here for the first time, if that's you, you can learn a little bit more about me in the bio on whatever platform that you're listening to. But a quick snapshot here is I'm a former door-to-door salesman. I knocked on about 100,000 doors, and then I transitioned into a sales startup where my job there was to build and train a team of salespeople around the nation. We hit some fun milestones together, things like Inc. 500 fastest growing companies in the nation twice. Pretty cool. And then in 2021, I launched my own consulting business helping nonprofits. So I leveraged corporate sales methods to help nonprofit fundraising teams win bigger donations. And that has been awesome. And then, of course, through this podcast, we teach the masses how to get more of the things that you want in life every single day. And the premise of the show here is that we focus on one principle or method at a time on persuasive communication. So something from, be it my 14 years of sales experience, or maybe something from psychology or neuroscience. And these are things to help you get more deals, get more donations, get people to go on dates with you, be able to negotiate better, just be able to sell your ideas and influence people to take action. So one of the most important skills in life. If you're looking to become a more effective communicator, you're in the right spot. All right, so it's Monday, which means we've got Monday Q&A where I answer a question that's come through from the listeners. Also, we have Wednesday, which is, that segment is actually Whiskey Wednesday. So my wife and I hang out. It's pretty informal. We had some listeners ask to get to know a little bit more about me and my life. So on Wednesday, we try a new whiskey and chat about some story from my life, or maybe it's my training regimen for Ironmans or whatever it is. And then on Thursday, that's kind of the meat and potatoes. I've either put together a lesson on a very cool topic from that pertains to persuasive communication, something from psychology or neuroscience or corporate sales methods, or maybe I've interviewed somebody fantastic. Like last Thursday was a lot of fun. I actually interviewed a vendor and business owner from Istanbul, Turkey. So this guy, Hussein, owns 4 shops inside of one of the oldest and busiest markets in the world, the Grand Bazaar. Most people have heard of it. It was in one of the more recent Bond movies as well. But there are 4,000 different shops inside of the Grand Bazaar, and there are over 250,000 visitors every single day walking through the different hallways. So capturing the attention of passersby is not an easy thing to do, much less getting them inside of your booth and getting them to buy. So Hussein walks us through some of his methods for doing that, negotiating with people. A lot of fun. And then the past couple Mondays, I've answered some great questions around how to get raises, whether or not to reveal your intentions when trying to persuade somebody, how to find a mentor, things pertaining to COVID as well. All have been very great questions, and today is no different. So today's question comes from a guy named Mark. We'll just go with his first name here, Mark. All right, question of the day. Here we go. Did you ever have a quarter-life crisis? Did you always know you would be where you're at now, or did you constantly change your mind on a profession? Again, did you ever have a quarter-life crisis, and did you always know you would be where you are now, or did you constantly change your mind on a profession? Again, from Mark. All right. Great question. Two-part question here. All right. Here, you know what? Quarter-life crisis, I've got something called a quarter-day crisis. Let's be real here. I am definitely freaking out at one point or another every single day, which seems so normal to me to question absolutely everything on a daily basis. But when I tell this to people, they usually don't believe me. Pretty much nobody believes me. They'll say, no, you seem like you've got this down. You're so into the whole sales thing. It's very much you. And I've told people that when I used to lead our conference calls, which we have a team of 50 people at Basemakers, that sales startup that I helped launch, and I would lead all the sales conference calls for the first few years there. And it would be pretty nerve-wracking. And I'd have people afterward, you know, reach out saying they learned something or it was helpful or whatever. And I would say, thanks, you know, I was super nervous. And people would say, no way, like you always seemed like you had it down. But they did not know that when I'm leading those calls on my end, I'm surrounded by cups of hot tea, like multiple. So as soon as I finish one, I can keep chugging the next one just to try to stay calm while I'm leading those conference calls. I'm getting a little bit better at it, but it's not something that like I did for a few months and then just had it down leading a conference call for 50 to plus people. It's taken several years for me to slowly start to feel more and more confident doing that. All that to say, I do not have anything down or feel ultra confident even where I'm at in life now. And maybe that sounds contradictory to some of the things that I talk about, like building confidence. But it is the reality. I'm a human being, and it means I question a lot of things. I have plenty of insecurities and wonder often if I'm going in the right direction or doing the right thing. So yes, Mark, first part of your question, have I ever experienced a quarter life crisis? It's a quarter day crisis in my world. And my wife, who is usually on this podcast, can certainly attest to that. But I would also say that I have had a more, probably in the context that you're referring to, more of an actual quarter life crisis this year, probably would be the best example. You know, I've been in sales for 14 years. I'm pretty sure that's my track, not just sales, but now persuasive communication. Now that I'm taking these principles and applying them to nonprofits. And through this podcast, we apply them to help people get more of whatever they want, right? Get raises, get promotions at work. So persuasive communication is the path that I'm on, but I made a decision 2 years ago, in 2018, almost 3 years ago in 2018, that I knew I wanted to branch off and start my own consulting business. And I made an agreement with a business partner that I would wait until the end of 2020. So in 2021 is when I would launch that consulting company. Obviously, we didn't know what was going to happen in 2020. So that threw a bit of a curveball into some things. But all this to say, the plan was that I would become a sales consultant in 2021 and had sort of been building the foundation as we approached January of 2021. But when 2020 hit, I'm not quite at the quarter life crisis yet. That's happened far more recently, like even while having this podcast. But I just started having conversations with friends of mine who were working for anti-human trafficking organizations, and they were a part of the fundraising teams. And so it was a couple different individuals at different organizations that told me during that time, because there was uncertainty and they felt like individuals might not want to donate in the midst of a pandemic, these fundraising teams had put all of their initiatives on hold. They said, hey, we're not even reaching out to anybody or really doing our jobs. We just gather once a week to sort of chat about success stories from 2019 and prior. And I thought, man, that's crazy. I know there are a lot of people hurting, but there are also a lot of wealthy people that leverage their assets in a way to make more money in 2020. Like, let's reach out to them. There's no need for us to freaking put the mission on hold. Like, let's keep the gears turning. And that's when it hit me. All right, what if I launch a consulting business not for for-profit companies, but I specifically work with nonprofits? And I really like to stay in the realm of anti-trafficking nonprofits. That's something I'm passionate about. If you listen to the show, you know that. So I thought, in 2021, I've been planning this now for 2 years to launch my consulting company where I would do sales training. But I feel in my gut I need to make a pivot and just work with nonprofits. So January hits, I wrap up my time as the president of Basemakers, and I launch full-blown my consulting company for, I guess a company implies multiple people, I should say consulting business, for nonprofits. And it's, you know, crickets, basically, right? And it was a bit of a struggle. I'm still only a couple months in. It's April here. I started it this January, and I'm having some very great conversations and do have clients now that I'm working with. But you know, the first 2 months were pretty quiet. And I was reaching out to tons of nonprofits. I had a list of 500 and I reached out to 300 of them. And I'm having a lot of conversations so far in the first few months and learning that a lot of my hunches that these nonprofits needed that support were correct. They definitely needed that. But a lot of my, I guess, principles of or ways of doing things in the sales world were not going to apply. And so the timing of your question, Mark, is great, because if I've ever had a quarter life crisis, it's been within the past few months, just thinking, did I make the right decision to pivot over to helping nonprofits? Or did I jump into a world and an industry I knew nothing about and just assume that I could be successful? And so that's had me thinking a ton, like, do I need to change paths? Do I need to go back to maybe consulting for for-profit companies and be a sales trainer? It's been a whirlwind, to say the least. But overall, I kind of had a realization, and I'll get to that in a second. I had a realization that I just need to stay the course. And you know, for freaking crying out loud, it's only been a couple months, so I just need to chill the heck out and just see where things go. So, yeah, that's kind of been it, I guess, if you could say. You throw the pandemic and a baby in with that, and it just gets you questioning a lot if you're going down the right road, basically. And then the second part of your question is, did you always know that you'd be where you're at now, or did you constantly change your mind on a profession? So if you do listen to the show, you've heard me talk about how I stumbled into door-to-door sales when I was 15 years old. So I got pretty lucky there. You know, I didn't go out searching for a sales job, and I was so young. It's not like I had tried my hand at a whole bunch of different things and hadn't figured out a passion. It was just dumb luck that I ran into somebody at a Starbucks, this guy, Justin Lane. Bless you, Justin, for getting me on this path. And then he said, hey, I think you'd be good at this door-to-door job. He was several years older than me. And so he was working there, I think, full time, and invited me to come in. I loved it. Every bit of it, and then stayed on that path throughout high school, college, and then after college, kind of paving the way up until I joined that sales startup of Basemakers. So I've always pretty much done the same thing when it comes to like a profession or a career path. Now, there have been times where other things sounded attractive to me based off of what season of life I was in. And this still happens, by the way. It's not like I'm so solid in my future that I don't ever question it. And I'm still only 30, you know, which is just outrageously young in the grand scheme of things. So my brain is just constantly thinking of what the next few years look like, et cetera. So I don't want to talk about this from some position of like authority or like a false expert on anything. I'm just sharing where I'm coming from. So hopefully that helps clear things up a little bit. But yeah, there were seasons where, you know, I thought maybe I wanted to be a pastor or plant churches. There were seasons where I wanted to work with youth full time. When I was volunteering at an organization that works with high school kids, I thought that might be the path that I wanted to take. I started an apparel brand with my cousin. I mentioned that in a past episode. I thought that could be the future for a little bit. At one point, I thought about launching one of my brothers and I did launch a graphic design sort of business that he still does, actually, which is awesome. We started that like 3 years ago. And I thought for a little bit, okay, maybe, you know, him and I can work together and we'll get my other brother, who's also like a prodigy designer, together. And we'll just have like the three brothers just have this graphic design firm that takes over the food and beverage industry doing package design. And we'll get into some other things too. So I've definitely had all those thoughts. And then of course, like I mentioned already, I thought I would be a sales trainer, not like a consultant for nonprofits, essentially. So there have been many different things I've considered over time. The only one that's been like out in left field has honestly been recently, with just everything that's been going on. I got heavy into cycling, particularly road biking, also in 2018. So I've been in it 3 years now. And I had been an avid mountain biker for a season when I lived in Colorado too. So I was not a stranger to bikes, but road biking was new to me. And I just immediately fell in love with it and was not bad. I'll just say that. It was not bad right off the cuff. And over the past few years, I've gotten a lot quicker on the bike and getting some pretty good distance under my belt. So all that to say, there have been times where I'm like, dude, screw everything. I just want to go be a cyclist. And I think it's just something that I've, like, a pro cyclist. And obviously, I would have to just train insanely for probably several years to get anywhere close. But that has been a thought, like, man, I won't have to deal with anything. I won't have to, like, I can just prove myself on the pavement, battling it out, being faster than other people, and dominating races. I don't know. That's just one of those dumb thoughts that goes through your head, you know. But it was an actual thought and an attractive thought. But thankfully, I threw that thought in the garbage. I still very much am passionate about cycling. Same with running. Starting to love swimming because I'm in the triathlon life now. I'm starting to love swimming a little bit more. But cycling, first love out of the three. That's for sure. So yeah, I mean, my mind has drifted all over the place. And if you've been listening for a long time, you've probably caught a glimpse of that. And if you've known me personally, you've seen firsthand that my mind is actually all over the place and how ridiculous it can be. So I do have to work really hard at refocusing. I think training myself, training my mind, my brain to refocus on what matters, on what I'm good at, and what the future could look like. That's been a very beneficial practice over the past few years, is this coming back to earth. I have to sense when I'm a little bit too lofty, when my head's in the clouds, and then just work on bringing myself back to earth and then looking at the greater picture. And I've got to share, one book really did have a big impact on me. The book is called, and I think I've also brought it up on this podcast. The book is called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And it's by a guy named Cal Newport. So it's So Good They Can't Ignore You. And the main idea behind this book is that this author breaks down two types of mentalities that most people operate with. The first is a passion mentality, and the second one is a craftsman mentality. So a lot of people, but millennials and probably Gen Z particularly, have a passion mentality. We all talk to the point where it's annoying about how we want, like, purpose and meaning, although that shouldn't be annoying. Those are good values to have. But, like, we all want purpose. We all want meaning in our life. We all want to do something fulfilling. We don't want to do the boring 9-to-5 jobs. But what does that do? That causes us to jump from place to place to place, constantly trying to find a spot that we feel comfortable in, that we feel meaning, like our work has meaning, in whatever culture it is. We're never really content. And very few millennials are sticking it out at one place. And I know this for a fact because, you know, having been in a leadership role at the past company Basemakers for over 6 years, I've seen countless resumes. And it's amazing to see a millennial that's stayed with a job more than 3 years. I'm impressed if I see more than 3 years, which is still pretty minuscule compared to, you know, past generations where people would stay there for decades. And like my friend's mom, for example, who I'm trying to bring on this podcast, has been at her law firm for 40 years, the same firm, 40 years. I mean, that's amazing. And that's impressive. But anyways, I'm getting off topic here. So passion mentality, craftsman mentality. All right, so passion mentality, this is a little fickle, right? Because our passions can change over time, just given whatever is happening around us in our environments or in the world, whatever social trends are occurring. We might want to get on board with this mission or, you know, fighting for this cause or whatever it is. And we end up jumping around. And we're trying to find work that fulfills us. It's almost like a what can my work do for me type of thing. Then the other mentality is a craftsman mentality. This is more of a what can I do for my work type of approach. Where rather than trying to chase like your passion or something that makes you feel good temporarily, it's more about, as in the title, craftsman mentality, it's more about dedicating yourself to a particular craft. and just getting so good at that one craft that, as the title says, they can't ignore you. And I think that seems scary to a lot of people, this idea of just committing to one thing. And Mark, you know, the person who asked the question, maybe you haven't found that thing yet, and so that's understandable, but I'm sure there are things that you're good at. I would just encourage and challenge you to maybe list those things that you feel are in your zone of genius, you know, the things that you're best at, and then brainstorm a series of paths that you can take from there, but really sticking with that one thing and trying to become a craftsman of that thing, become an expert of that thing. And I read that book probably in 2017, which was very helpful, as I just knew down the road I would dive deeper into entrepreneurship and start my own thing. It was helpful for me to keep myself grounded, keep my head out of the clouds, because during those times where I've had those different thoughts, you know, like trying to go be a cyclist or whatever, like so dumb. That book comes to mind, and I can think like I've spent 14 years developing myself as a salesperson, reading a lot of books now on sales and persuasion and negotiation, and books that pertain to the neuroscience and psychology behind. Like I'm pouring myself into this, and maybe there are going to be times where it's not as exciting because of whatever's going on. But I think at the end of the day, I have to learn that that doesn't matter, and to not really care about whether or not it's exciting in the moment, and just to think long term. I'm dedicated to this thing. I've gotten pretty dang good at it, and I'm helping others get good at it. Let me just commit to this. And I think that there's also freedom in that. Even though it sounds a little scary, like committing to this one thing, I think there's freedom in committing to one thing, because once you become a true expert in it, there's going to be flexibility on the other side. You'll be able to call a little bit more of the shots. Maybe you can work for yourself. You can create your own salary and your work on your own time frame. But you're not going to be able to do that if you haven't really mastered anything. So, yeah. I would say that pretty much sums it up. I would encourage everybody that's listening to list out the things that you're good at, rank them by obviously what you feel like is within your zone of genius. What are you absolutely the best? This is if you're not sure which direction you want to go. So list out the things that you're the absolute best at. Consider different paths that could stem from those things, where you could utilize those skills, and then get to work trying to be the absolute best at that thing. If you're somebody that has been on a path and you're considering, you know, jumping ship or trying something new, that could be the way to go. I'm not saying it's not. Again, I already clarified I don't want to speak to this from anything other than a person who's also trying to figure it out myself. So I got to make that clear. But jumping ship could be great. I don't know what your circumstances are. Maybe that's absolutely needed. But I also just think about people I look up to, like one guy, Kevin Hart, most of us know, comedian and actor. You know, when reading his book, I was truly blown away when I heard that he met Seinfeld's manager one night in New York City after a show. This guy had come to watch him. And after the show, he told Kevin Hart, hey, comedy and stand-up is not for you. Some people have it and you don't have it. You should probably go find something else. But as we all know how his story turned out, that guy was committed to becoming a craftsman. He had a craftsman mentality when it came to comedy, when it came to stand up. And because of that, he's now the highest paid comedian in the world. And I think the only comedian to ever sell out an entire arena for a stand up show. And not to mention starting to run his own companies now. So it took a while for him to dedicate himself and stick through the tough times. He had people throwing chicken at him when he was doing shows because they thought he was so terrible. Then Seinfeld's manager telling him he's not cut out for it. But he kept sticking with it. That's when most of us would have thought, all right, I'm not in the right place. I got to go find something else. He kept committing himself to learning and being the best, which probably felt like confinement, which is what most of us don't like. We don't want to be confined or held down. But that ultimately led to freedom and flexibility. He's Kevin Hart. He could do whatever he wants now. But he did dedicate himself for many, many years, well over a decade of just sort of taking that crap that came with being a craftsman. So if you're willing to endure long enough, I think you'll be fine no matter what you do. If you're willing to endure long enough. So I guess food for thought right there. But anyways, people, that wraps it up. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you're looking for more content on persuasive communication, although that's not necessarily what we chatted about today, but if you are looking for more content on persuasive communication, check out some of the other episodes that we've got. And you can also catch me on Instagram. It's at It's Jake Savage. I'm usually posting either photos or videos there about things I'm picking up along the way as well, about how to be a more effective communicator. And then lastly, three quick things. One, survey live on the site. We're just trying to better understand the audience so we can improve the show and really make it your all-time favorite podcast. So there's a link in the show notes of this episode on whatever platform you're listening to. You can either click it or copy and paste depending on what the platform is. It is 60 seconds. You can do it from your phone, your computer, at a red light. You can do it. It will take 60 seconds. It's hugely helpful to us. The second thing, ratings and reviews. I know every podcast is always griping for ratings and reviews, but I do want to explain why we ask for them at Persuasion School. One, to prevent any insecurities for me by having a little bit more ratings and reviews. Kidding, but not kidding. But the actual reason, no, is because we've had a lot of people reach out saying that they are using what they've learned from the show to get a raise, to navigate the job interview and get the job, to win more deals, win more donations, which is incredible. And when we have more ratings and reviews for the podcast, the algorithm gods bubble Persuasion School on up to the top, which means more people can see it, learn from it, and utilize those same methods so that they can get raises and that they can ask people out on dates and get more of the things that they want in life. So when you do a rating, when you rate or review the show, you're not only helping to boost my ego, but you are helping other people out there get more of what they want in life too. All right, that's point number two. So survey, ratings and reviews. Third thing, I talk about it every time. Lexa and I are super passionate about fighting human trafficking, especially sex trafficking. And we want you to join us on the fight. If that's been something that's you've had on your mind before and you've wanted to get involved but didn't know how, I don't want you to suffer from paralysis by analysis, meaning there are so many different ways you can get involved, whether it's volunteering your time or donating to one of a million organizations. There are so many choices that you never end up making a choice. So what you can do is you can just go to persuasionschoolpodcast.com, scroll down till you see Jake's fight, and there's a button there to donate. And that's a pass-through. So obviously we're not taking any of that. You'll have to trust me on that one. But we give that over to our partners, existing nonprofits that are already doing great work, both here in the U.S. and abroad. So food for thought there. And you can also buy the t-shirt that I'm wearing in the cover art. Trust me, I'm a saleswoman. I'm wearing the trust me, I'm a salesman shirt. But we have trust me, I'm a saleswoman available. Both are available for sale. 100% of the profits go towards fighting human trafficking. Guys, that's it. Hope you found it useful. Enjoy the rest of your Monday and Tuesday. We'll catch you Wednesday for Whiskey Wednesday. Adios.